All right, nice start to the second half of the baseball season. We got the big picks, the key plays, if you will. Oakland and under 10.5, and then the two games under 9.5 each in a parlay. Those came in solidly. Now, the swing for the fences ones weren't so hot. I did mention you could take the under original under 7, 7.5, and feel comfortable that you'd at least split. But that doesn't pay any bills because you're actually going to lose a hair on the juice. And the swing for the fences was, of course, the sweep by Oakland, which didn't come in. First game didn't come in. And then the parlay on those two original totals, 7, 7.5, didn't come in. I also didn't mention I did like Montas for strikeout numbers. And, of course, I misjudged that he would pull, that would get pulled after three innings with five strikeouts. So it is what it is. But, again, a nice green day, if you will, for the start of the second half. I like it. Let's roll into today. I'll try to make it a little shorter. Got almost close to 20 minutes yesterday. Again, you could probably speed up the tape. I think everybody does that already. Take away some of the downtime while I'm trying to prepare the next sentence in my head for the podcast. So let's get into it. Mets and San Diego. I like the Mets on the run line here. Plus money. Plus 125 range. Now, this was all done. These were all done last night, played last night. So I haven't had time to actually redo the podcast for totals. It's not really necessary. But anyway, Mets run line, win by 2 over the Padres. Also, though, taking a same game parlay with them, Mets to simply win, and we'll split, we'll middle the total here, go for the middle. We'll take over 3.5 on one direction and under 10.5 on the other. You're going to pay about 110 to 115. 115, I believe, was available. So you need 4 to 10. That's quite a good range there for these two teams. Doesn't mean we can get them both. I know I always throw that caveat in there. Every day there's going to be new listeners, and I don't want anyone to ever assume I'm going to win every single game. Been a lot of green lately. A lot of green on the flow chart. Does it mean it stays that way? It just is. It is what it is. But I like these bets. And if we get 4 to 10, we get both sides of it. If it's 3 or less or 11 or more, well, we basically wash it out there. And then again, we do need the Mets by 2 as well on a different side of it. So if they win by 2, but it's 3-0 or 11-7, well, there's the money there. All right, Milwaukee Brewers are going to go with them by 2 over Colorado. There was no other play for me on that game. The spread on the same game parlay was ridiculously small. Should be a nice game for Milwaukee and Corbin Burns to win by 2 at minus 115. All right, so it's Milwaukee and Mets games. Now we move on to Seattle and Houston. You know what? I'm going to put these two games, lump them together a little bit. I'm going to fade the travel teams. What I mean by that is Houston has to come all the way across country from New York to play Seattle. All the way across the country. And Texas, the same thing. They were in Miami. Now they got to go all the way across country and play Oakland. Both of those games, actually, because both of them were doubleheaders, they ended fairly late. Now, these games start late tonight, but you have a late game. You play two games on the road, the second one ending late, and then you have to fly across country. That doesn't happen in a normal regular, there's normal and regular, as if that's different. And a standard, there's the third word, in a standard MLB schedule, you do not have to do that. This is because of the COVID delays to start the season and makeup games. They had to throw them in there. You would not have maybe even seen a game on a Thursday after the All-Star. Matter of fact, I believe there's a couple of teams that didn't even have to start till Saturday, so they got extra vacation time. I think the Twins game is in that one on Saturday. In any event, Houston at Seattle and Texas at Oakland, I'm going to fade both those teams. Now, in further details on both of those games, Seattle, of course, has a 14-game winning streak with their eye on the club record of 15. Again, I won't go into too much detail on that. When you get into these double digits, the streaks fall quickly for the all-time records to be 20-22 now with the Cleveland Indians, former Indians. And you got a situation where Seattle had time to think about it. I don't like it when the players have time to think about how successful they've been. That's a big negative. But I cannot ignore the fact that Houston's at a serious disadvantage of the scheduling of this game. And I actually like the Seattle pitcher a little bit better. Not an enormous advantage, but I like him better. I got to go with Seattle at plus 100. How do you not? Houston, or the Texas, the other Texas team, also traveling across country, this one to Oakland. Now, pitching-wise, I actually give Oakland a bigger edge here. You've got Urban on the mound versus Spencer Howard. That's a big advantage for Oakland. And Oakland sitting at home. They had to play a doubleheader as well. That's not great, but they didn't go anywhere. When the game was over, they were at home. And they have 24 hours before the next game starts. And again, they had to use relievers, especially since they pulled Montas after three innings. But none of them had been taxed. They'd all had all that time off beforehand, so they can pitch 2 days in a row and be okay with it. And none of them pitched two games yesterday. So we're on standard flow there. And Oakland should have some momentum there, having pitching a shutout, 5-0. Texas, again, serious disadvantage from the scheduling, and they have a pitching disadvantage. You got to go with Oakland at plus 100. There's nothing to think about there. Now, parlay action. Oops, I forgot. Seattle, St. Louis, and Cincinnati. I like St. Louis by 2 at plus money. This is not a slam dunk because Wainwright, although seriously better pitcher, does seem to get lit up by Cincinnati a little bit. And it is in Cincinnati. So that's not a lock. But Cincinnati by 2 is the way to go there. Don't pay any juice. And then the other way to not pay juice is take St. Louis just to simply win in under 14.5. I lean under 10 for the game. Not enough to play it, though. But under 14.5, I sure like that one. So, yeah, add the extra risk. Take the Cardinals in under 14.5. Essentially even money, minus 105, 106 area. Now let's get into some parlays that look good. I like the Oakland +2.5 and Seattle +1.5 parlay at about even money. So alternate lines, get into your alternate line market. Both these games, you could lose them now and still win the bet. And I do like Oakland to get to 2.5. Oakland +1.5 on the road is pretty lethal. They win 2 out of 3 games on the road like that, giving them a +1.5 margin. At home, it seems like they sometimes need the extra run because, again, at home, you can't stop. The game is not ending when the game is over by a one-run margin. So, and then Seattle at home, also at the disadvantage, being the home team in this. But +1.5 seems like it. You know, yeah, there's a possibility when the streak comes to an end, they just get slugged. But I'll take it in a close one here because of all the, you know, the tiredness of the offensive bats for the Texas teams. So Oakland +2.5, Seattle +1.5. Then I'll go with more traditional parlay, take the Mets and the Brewers plus money. And then I'll also take the Cardinals and the Brewers at plus money. So I'm not going to throw a three-teamer in there. Obviously, the logical one is Mets, Brewers, Cardinals, three-team parlay. I'm just going to keep them in a separate parlay there. What I'm doing there is a little defensive. One of those teams lose. Obviously, we don't want it to be Milwaukee because they're in both. But if either the Mets or the Cardinals lose, then we can still win one of the two parlays and they're both at plus money, so we make money. So it's a defensive play. That's why I'm doing it that way. Obviously, I'm keying in on the Brewers. Out of those three teams, I think they're more likely to at least win the game with Burns at home against Colorado, who should get lit up here, in my opinion. Whereas I have some fear that the Cardinals could lose on the road behind a team that seems to have the radar set up on Adam Wainwright. And then the Mets, obviously, I don't have a lot of fear with Max Scherzer on the mound. But the Padres are no slouches, and I like them to come out strong in the second half. I feel good about Padres in the second half. I just don't think it's going to be in this game. But, again, because of the negative there, of I think Padres are coming out, are going to come alive, and I think the Reds could do well against the Cardinals. But I did mention that they close out the first half. I think the Reds' day of terror, week or so of terror, where they're beating up them, the Yankees and the Rays, is over. And the Cardinals did that to them. The Cardinals actually played in the last game before the break and throttled them. And now we're going to Cincinnati, though. That was a one game, one of those makeup type things. Now we're going to Cincinnati rather than that one game at St. Louis. I think they fix it here. I think they fix them. Or no, actually there was two games, I think. In any event, doesn't matter. I like them, but it's a little bit of a risk. And I like the Mets, but because of the Padres, and Darvish is not bad. He's not been Max Scherzer, but he's not bad. So anyway, that's it. Quick recap. So you got Milwaukee run line. You've got the Mets run line and the Mets over under mixed parlay. You've got Seattle money line. You've got Oakland money line. You've got St. Louis run line and the St. Louis under same game parlay. And you've got parlays with Oakland and Seattle on alternate lines where you're taking plus runs on both. And you got the Mets Milwaukee, and you've got Milwaukee and Cardinals. Let's get some more. Good luck.